Father, I thank you for Harvest Hands. I thank you for Gary and Terry, Lord, that you would bless their ministry abundantly. Lord, as they go forth and they reach hurting people with you, Lord Jesus, you are the answer. There's nothing impossible for you. There's no life that's become so ruined that it can't become redeemed. There's no hole that's too deep that you can't reach down and get us out. Lord, touch us this morning. Lord, I pray especially for those here this morning who are hurting, just going through difficult times, looking for answers. Lord, you're the answer. Teach us, show us, Lord, this morning your power and love. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you believe that God can do miracles? Our God is a miracle-working God, isn't he? He can do miracles. He can do anything he wants at any time. And he's still doing miracles today. Many of the miracles that Jesus did during his public ministry are recorded in the Gospel of Mark. And this morning we get to one of his most touching miracles, the healing of a leper. Look at verse 40 of Mark chapter 1. It says, "Now a leper came to him, Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.'" Leprosy was the most feared disease in those times. In fact, as I've studied leprosy this week, I think it's one of the most disgusting diseases that has ever plagued humanity. It is a word that would terrify people in those days. The very word leprosy invoked the same fears and emotions that you and I might feel when we hear the word cancer. It was a devastating disease. Today it's known as Hansen's disease, and we can treat it. But back then, it was an infectious, contagious, incurable disease. And I want to paint a little picture of how horrible it was. If you were living in these days and you got leprosy, this is what you could expect. This disease would devastate you on every level of life. Physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, spiritually. It was a horrid disease physically. It began inside the body. You would feel first fatigue and pain in your joints. Eventually, these little seedy spots would begin to show up on your skin, and these spots would progress until they became pus-filled nodules. All over your body, boils. Leprosy was a disease that caused physical disfigurement. It disfigured your body. It altered your face. Ancient records speak of people with leprosy having faces that looked more like lions than human beings. Everything dragged, swooped. Leprous nodules on the vocal cords would cause a leper to speak with a very harsh, rash voice. It turned humans into monsters. Leprosy was also a disease that attacked the nervous system, so it acted as an anesthetic. It would numb the body so that lepers, as they're progressing, would lose pain, lose the ability to feel pain. So oftentimes lepers would hurt themselves without feeling it. In fact, One historian writes, the leper might step on a stone or a thorn and injure his foot and be totally unaware that there was a problem. Infection would set in and eventually the injured foot might just fall off. The leper might wash his face in scalding water and blind himself. He might reach into a fire to pick up a dropped potato and not realize that he'd been badly burned. Rats and other vermin would often chew on sleeping lepers. One doctor in a third world nation would often send a cat home with his leprous patients after he had performed surgery on them. Horrid. The body of leper was put in a state of living decomposition. The human body would slowly, over time, rot away while they're living. And so where there was the foul stench of death and putrefying flesh about a leper. The course of leprosy took about 9 years, and it always ended in a horrible death. That was the condition of this leper who came to Jesus that day. And folks, if you look at Luke's account, it says specifically that this man was full of leprosy. He was at the advanced stages at the end. The physical consequences were devastating, but there were also social, mental, emotional, even spiritual consequences. As many of you know, you've heard the stories. In ancient times, the lepers were kicked out of society, weren't they? They were banished. They were contagious. Everybody was afraid of them. They left their homes. They left their cities. They left their synagogues. They left their businesses. They were kicked out. They could not touch another human being. They had to stay at least 50 feet away from people, 200 feet away from people on a windy day. They had to wear torn garments, ashes, to identify themselves as lepers. In fact, they dressed as mourners going to a funeral service, their own funeral service. They had to shout, unclean, unclean, to warn people. It was even permitted for people to stone lepers who got too close. If a leper decided he wanted to wander in closer to people, they were permitted by law to pick up stones and stone the leper. No contact with people. Banished, exiled. Never, ever again being able to kiss and hug kids. Spouse. Friends. And it was sad because oftentimes the leper, the victim who got leprosy, the family would try to help out in the beginning. And they'd bring food and clothing out to their leprous family member. But over the years, the compassion would wane off. And there were even accounts of families holding a funeral service for the living leper member of the family. No more would there be any interaction whatsoever. Can you imagine what this did to their minds? Can you imagine what this did to them emotionally? Destroyed them. Isolated them. There was also a spiritual consequence to it. You see, leprosy in those days was thought to be the judgment of God upon a person who has committed a specific sin. So if you got leprosy, it was like you got the scarlet letter. And everyone not only began to see you as a physical monster, but as a spiritual monster. Devastating in every level of life. The word that would sum up leprosy would be absolute total hopelessness. And this is this leper who came to Jesus. But that's pretty awesome, isn't it? He came to Jesus. It says in verse 40, now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This guy was very bold. Lepers didn't go near people, but he came to Jesus. He must have heard about the fame of the miracle worker that had been doing miracles, and he thought, I'm going to get to Jesus. And remember, if there had been a crowd there, they could have picked up a stone and thrown it at him. He doesn't care. Just get me to Jesus. I think, again, he was at the last stages of his disease. He thought, this is my last ditch effort. Notice that he came in humility. Leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him. What did that leper have to offer Jesus? Absolutely nothing. There wasn't an iota of pride in that man. Just threw himself down at the very mercy of Jesus. Notice that he didn't come with presumption. I think it's very interesting that he throws himself down at Jesus and what he says there. If you are what? If you're willing, you can cleanse me. This wasn't a guy coming and commanding Jesus what to do. This was a man very humbly saying, God, I have leprosy. If you're willing, make me clean. Notice he also came in faith, didn't he, though? What did he say? You might make me clean. I think you can make me clean. He says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Perfect example of how you and I need to come to Jesus with our problems. Come boldly, come personally. Come to him. Don't let anybody hold you back from coming to Jesus. Don't let Jesus be the last person you talk to about your problem. Come in humility. Come with respect. Come acknowledging his sovereignty. Come looking for his will. And come by faith. What a picture. Notice how Jesus responded. Look at verse 41. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Jesus did here what would have been inconceivable, unthinkable to anybody at that time. First of all, it says he was moved with compassion. It's a famous Greek word. I've shared it with you before. Kind of fun to say. Compassion is splunkna in the Greek. Splunkna refers to the bowels, the insides of a person. Those emotions that get you in the gut. When this man came to Jesus, Jesus didn't say, run for cover. He didn't say, P.U., you smell. He didn't say, get away, you're going to give us all this sickness. It says he looked down with him with compassion. He was deeply moved in his spirit at the misery and suffering of this person. And it says he actually stretched out his hand and touched him. Jesus touched the monster. Jesus touched the pus-filled nodules. You think of that. You didn't touch lepers. Made you unclean. It would get you sick. But he did the unthinkable. Would you have touched that leper? Would you touch the open sores or wounds of a person dying of AIDS? Would you touch the the hands and face of someone who has a disease, the dirty, the grimy. Our natural reaction is to run away, isn't it? The other night, my family and I were eating at Five Guys Burgers and Fries. What a burger, man. And as we were walking in to order, we went right by a homeless man. And he was messed up, you could tell. And we walked in and I went to order. And my wife, who's got so much splunkna, so much compassion, she went back out and she said, "Hey, can I get you a meal?" And the guy said, "Well, if you want to, that's cool with me. Go for it." And so she went and she ordered this man a meal. And we got our meal a little before his. He did, and he had his ticket. And I'm halfway through that marvelous burger. And I've got the, you know, my hands are a mess and whatever. But he came up to our table, and he wanted to shake my hand. And out he stretched this grimy, muddy hand. And I thought, no way, I'm eating this burger. But you know what? I grabbed that hand and I shook it and he put his other hand on me. "Thank you, sir." And then what am I supposed to do? I can't go to the restroom and wash up. "Honey, give me a bacterial wipe." You know, I couldn't. I was scared to death, but you know what? I put that hand back on the burger and continued eating and prayed that God would protect my immune system. We don't touch. We don't touch dirty, filthy things. We get away. But you know what? Jesus does. And can you imagine how much that touch meant to that leper? Who hadn't been touched for 9 years by any human being. Jesus did the very thing that would heal him emotionally. I can see Jesus touching him by his face. And I can see that leper putting his hand on his hand, rubbing it into his cheek. You know, there's something interesting about Jesus that I don't want you ever to forget. He's holy. He's spotless. He's pure. He's clean. But as Christians, we somehow think he's untouchable. He's removed. He's aloof. He's not. Jesus is not afraid to touch the dirty, the diseased, the open wounds. Jesus will touch dirty people. And his is a touch that transforms. There was no chance that that leper would transmit his disease to Jesus. What's going to happen? Jesus will transmit cleansing to the leper. Verse 42 says, "As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed." In an instant, 9 years of a leprosy was erased. That disfigured face probably became handsome. The limbs were repaired. Skin as smooth as baby skin. No more smell. In an instant of time, that man got his life back. He'd be welcomed back into the community. Think of it. He'd be able to sleep in his own bed. Go back to synagogue. In a moment of time. And it all came by the touch of Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus is still doing miracles like that. I believe his touch is still powerful. And I believe that no matter how dirty you might feel here this morning, no matter how miserable you may have made your own life, how ugly it's become. You let Jesus touch your life. He'll make you well. He'll transform you. It's interesting that Jesus gave this guy a command. Right after this miracle, verse 43 says, "And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him," this is Jesus speaking to the leper, "see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." That is an amazing thing. He has just been totally healed, and Jesus says, don't tell anyone. Go your way. Show yourself to the priest at the temple in Jerusalem, according to the law of Moses. Leviticus chapters 13 and 14 speak of this elaborate ceremony that the leper was to go through in order to be admitted back into society. And that came through a priest. The priest had to give the clean bill of health. There had to be a formal process by which he would come into society. So don't go tell anybody, go to the priest. Now, why would Jesus say this? Two reasons. He did not want a circus-like ministry. He didn't want people coming to him, asking him to do tricks. He did not want people coming to him just for miracles. His priority was the message. The miracles were submissive to the message. He wanted to avoid the circus-like environment. So he would tell often lots of people whom he healed, hey, be quiet about it, hush, hush. Secondly, I think he was sending a sign to the priests in Jerusalem. Jesus was sending this healed leper back to the priests so that the priests would understand that the Messiah has shown up. I looked. The last recorded miracle of leprosy being healed before this is back in the days of Elisha. I'll bet those priests had to get out the book to remember how to do the ceremony. Nobody'd been healed by leprosy in years, and here's going to become a leper, and they're going to have to go through that ceremony, and they're going to know the Messiah must be around because only God can cure leprosy. I think Jesus had those two reasons in mind. Well, did this guy obey? Verse 45 says, "However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction." You can understand this man's excitement, but he disobeyed the Lord. And it did create problems for Jesus in getting around in his ministry. And we don't know if the priest ever got that testimony. But oh, what a miracle. I think this is one of the most touching healing miracles in the scripture, because so much is healed in that moment of time. And I think it's an incredible miracle for us to consider as Christians. It speaks of a spiritual miracle that Jesus can do in any one of our lives at any time. Understand this morning, the physical disease that we call leprosy is a perfect picture of the spiritual disease that we would call sin. Leprosy, and why I took so much time to paint the ugliness of it. Sin is way more uglier than that. And we're all infected with sin. We're born with it. It's rebellion. And it's just like leprosy, it starts in the insides and works its way out. We are all born with a sinful nature. We do not have a sinful nature because we sin. We sin because we have a sinful nature. And it's inside, and it wants to destruct and devastate every single area of our life. You look at people who are obsessed with sin, in bondage to sin. You can smell it on them. You can see it on them. You can see a trail of broken relationships behind them. Lost jobs, lost opportunities. Oh, the mess that people can make of their lives as they fulfill that sinful nature. The drug addiction, sin, if left unchecked, it'll destroy you socially, mentally, emotionally, physically. It'll break down everything in your life. And the scripture says we all have it. What do you need to do about it? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Kneel before Him. Say, cleanse me. Scripture says that Jesus Christ, if you come to Him and ask Him to be your Savior, the answer is always yes. So that's something you don't have to worry about as far as will is concerned. It is God's will that you be saved. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who deserves all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is God's will. If you're dirty, if you're in sin, and if you come before Jesus this morning and you call upon Him in humility and you place your faith in Him, it is God's will that you would be saved at that moment. All of your sins would be forgiven. All of your sins would be washed away. And you know what? When you come to Jesus and you let Him touch you, His touch stays with you. His touch transforms your life. He'll break all those addictions. He'll heal so much damage in your life that you've caused for yourself. He'll give you satisfaction. He'll give you purpose. He'll give you meaning. He will give you joy, unspeakable joy, peace. He will transform your life forever. I know some of you may be sitting here thinking, well, you don't know my life. You don't know how dirty I am. You don't know all I've done. You don't know where I'm involved in right now. Listen, I do know that if you give your life to Christ right now, sincerely, in humility, He'll forgive you. And if you invite Him to be your Lord and Savior, He'll come into your life and change and transform, just like He did to that leper. What about the command that the leper disobeyed? Well, as it turns out, today in the church age, we've been given another command. You know what our command is? Tell everyone! Don't hold back. Get on the mountaintop. Scream to the world, Jesus Christ is alive. Tell everybody how they can be forgiven of their sins. It's sad if you think about it. The leper was told to tell nobody, and he went and told everybody. Many Christians today are told to tell everybody, and many Christians don't tell anybody. Which command is worse? To disobey. We have the best news to share, don't we? Whether it be in Juarez, in Africa, in your neighborhood, in your school. We have a powerful Savior who can transform lives. I want to close with a poem that has always touched me deep in my heart. I've shared this with you before. Many of you, but it's so perfect. The title of the poem is The Touch of the Master's Hand. Listen carefully. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to spend much time with the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What is my bid, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar? A dollar? Two? Only two? $2. Who'll make it three? $3. Once, $3. Twice, and going for three, but no." From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loosened strings, he played a melody as pure and sweet as caroling angels sing. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, "What is my bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with a bow. $1,000. Who'll make it two? $2,000. Who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. The crowd cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like that old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, he's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Lord, I'm so grateful for your touch. You make lives beautiful. The world wants to throw lives away. The world tells people that they're useless. But Lord, you touch. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for many, many, many years ago touching my life, changing me. And I know many here this morning would thank you in the exact same way. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never received the touch of Jesus in your life. You have to come to him. I want you to have an opportunity this morning. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what you may be feeling, if you want the touch of Jesus upon your life, I want you to show that this morning by raising your hand high. Anybody here this morning? Perhaps you've never invited Christ to come into your life, and this morning would be your opportunity. If that's you, raise your hand. I see your hand. God bless you. Anybody else? Maybe thinking, "Oh, it's too good to be true." It's true. Jesus loves you that much. Anybody? Then I'm going to ask you, sister, to pray this prayer with me in the quietness of your heart. Lord Jesus, become my master. I invite you into my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, rising again. Touch me deeply. Heal me. Make me a brand new creation. Let's all stand together. I'm going to ask our leaders to come forward and